Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, they need to start calling him Colorado Man. Hey, Colorado Man. You guys remember the Maryland Man who was not so Maryland Man? He was the illegal MS-13 gangbanger thug from El Salvador who got sent home to El Salvador, but they kept calling him, hey, Maryland Man. Time to refill the water. Time to refill the margarita glasses here. Yeah, Jesse Waters. Oh, my goodness. I got to watch at least one or two of his segments here. Listen to it every morning when I'm doing my normal rounds of show prep because, man, the guy is just hilarious. And he has a great summary. That, case in point, I was looking. There was one clip that I was looking for. I heard the audio earlier, and I thought, oh, we got to find this. And then I found a Daily Caller story, and our producer, Caden, tracked down the audio for us. So that's great. So I've got that audio ready to roll. But then I'm listening to Jesse Waters, and he had just a great summary to roll into this one. So let's see. All right. First off, the Vermont rep. What was her name? Is it Becca? How do you pronounce her last name? Becca Ballant? Becca Ballant? I don't know. Some Vermont lawmaker. She was talking about illegal aliens. Well, you'll hear it here in just a second. But then Jesse Waters made a great point when it comes to this radical Islamic terrorist suspect down in Boulder, Colorado. And now you've got a liberal judge fighting to keep the terrorist's family here in the United States of America, even though they're likely in America illegally because their dad's in this country illegally. So maybe they're here illegally, too. Either way, our government has the authority to revoke their visas anytime they want. So even if they're here on a visa, the government, that is a privilege, not a right. The government can take away that visa. And, you know, if the dear old dad just committed a terrorist attack, burning people alive, burning Holocaust survivors alive with a makeshift flamethrower, yeah, you're going to lose your visa. But now you've got a liberal judge once again weighing in. But Jesse Waters says, hey, you know, the liberal media, this isn't a radical Islamic terrorist suspect from Egypt. This is, hey, Colorado Man.
We're going to start calling him Colorado Dad. Watch. Trump should fly the family to Egypt anyway and make Democrats go to Cairo and have cocktails with them, the good kinds. Democrats don't protect bad hombres because of love. They just want to import an underclass so they can wipe their...
If we don't have avenues for people to come here legally to work or to build a home here, I'm going to be really crude right now. We're not going to have anybody around to wipe our asses because we don't have enough people in our country now to fill the jobs that we have right now.
Oh, man, so wait till you hear what Waters had to say about that one. But, yeah, here you go. Here you go. Democrats are really taking their slave labor to a whole new level here. You know, first it was, who's going to pick the lettuce? Then you had a woke white liberal, a wealthy woke white liberal in Big Sky, Montana, say, who's going to shovel our snow for us? And now this Vermont representative, she's like, who's going to wipe our ass? My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, why hire a union guy with a good wage to do the job when you can have illegals, do all this stuff?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, we'll see a slight chance for a shower, a thunder shower this afternoon. High temperatures will stay up around 70 degrees. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the mid-40s across the Bozeman area to near 50 in Billings. Then with sunshine Friday, highs will stay in the mid-70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America. A House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee hearing Wednesday focused on the challenges faced by NATO. Former U.S. Rep to NATO, Julianne Smith.
NATO's enduring strength lies not only in its military might, but in the shared values of its members and their collective commitment to defend one another.
But witnesses also pointed out looming dangers, in particular the aggressive actions of Russia's Vladimir Putin. Dr. Niall Gardner is the director of the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom.
Without NATO, the brutal reality is that Russian forces would very likely today be rolling into the Baltic states and deep into Europe.
Retired Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery expanded that thought, warning,
neither Russia nor China will be cajoled or coddled into compliance or even peaceful coexistence.
All witnesses called for NATO's European members to contribute more to the alliance financially. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, maybe this would be a brilliant self-deportation plan. You know, it's not just about sending in ICE and Border Patrol agents in the areas where they've got the authority to go in and grab and deport these folks as well, but it's self-deportation is a critical part of getting these 21 million plus illegals out of here. You know, maybe this Vermont Democrat is onto something. You know, she's out there saying that she needs illegal aliens to wipe her. You know what? So maybe this is the Democrats trying to be helpful with the self-deportation plan. Hey, any of you illegals that stay in America, the Democrats are going to make you wipe every single one of their, you know what? In fact, I understand there's a guy at a beach house in Delaware who could really use a few illegal aliens to help out with some diaper changes. Just a tip. That one might be a better paid job, by the way. what about that one? Hey, let's jump right into the phone lines. We've got Nancy and Rhonda up here. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, good morning, Montana Talks family. Well, I'm a horrified, unhappy American right now. You're talking about illegal immigration, and of course, we just had a breaking news story of a Chinese national who was in our country legally at the University of Michigan, who had four bundles of this deadly red Chinese fungus that could wipe out our whole food supply in our country. And I don't know where these people are coming from. They can't seem to get it through their heads that we are in danger, that these people mean to do us in. And I think, you know, I listened to Mark Levin just a little bit last night, and he said it best. He said, we're on a suicide mission in this country. And
well said.
I just cannot believe anybody taking the side of the illegal aliens and what they are doing. And it's going to be up to us, just the everyday American blue-collar worker. And I know there's a lot of good people that are elected officials that are on our side, too. But I want to mention, you know, Attorney General Austin Knutson. I got to talk with him the other day on your sister station, KGVO. And he did say that the Chinese are here. They're in the state of Montana. And I think it's kind of obvious. There's just, I think it's like a chain. One link leads to another link on a chain that the Chinese have in their agenda. It's, you know, like this red virus, fungus. I mean, it could have spread to every state, including here in Montana. My God, we're an agricultural state. You know, it's just unbelievable why anybody would fight the facts.
That fungus you were talking about deliberately can hit wheat, you know, so, and obviously we're a big wheat state. 50,000 illegal aliens from China flowed into this country just over a two-year time period alone. And that's the illegals doing who knows what, bringing who knows what. But as you pointed out, like with this whole Chinese, you know, fungus smuggling story, this and they believe that apparently this woman has been smuggling crazy stuff into this country for quite some time now, or attempting to at least. And this is just one example of what they're doing to abuse the legal immigration system in order to smuggle this type of stuff in. What are the illegals doing, right?
Right. And, you know, if this was in China and they caught an American doing this in their country, that American would go through the most horrible torture before they would execute him. And as far as I'm concerned, it might sound merciless, but that's the way I feel about the Chinese, that this person should be executed immediately. I just can't see wasting time and money on these people. We know what they did, what they've done, she did, and I just had no mercy for him at all. I mean
you know, look, if we have, so we talk about nuclear security. If another country attacked our country or our country with nuclear weapons, what would be the consequences of something like that? Right. Or even attempted to. This is a, you know, sometimes you will lump, you know, nuclear, biological, chemical, radiological threats into a, not the same category with the same response necessarily. But you'll look at it as this type of threat. This is a biological attack on the United States of America by a communist Chinese agent. And so how are we to respond to something like that? And you're right. Like, where are these Democrat Party farm front groups that were sitting there propping up Joe Biden? You know, like the Montana Farmers Union, for example, they were putting out press releases trying to make Joe Biden and John Tester look good over the last 4 years. Oh, well, tell me how your farmers will do when the communist Chinese bring in their deadly fungus to hit your wheat supplies here. And you guys just turned a blind eye for 4 years while they made this country a net importer of farm products for the first time in our nation's history, in our nation's modern history. Didn't hear you guys say squat about Joe Biden and John Tester on that one. 50,000 illegals coming in from China alone to do God knows what to our farm economy. Didn't hear you guys say squat about that. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and they just sit here and still, and but the moment Donald Trump's in power, they got to send out press releases attacking him, right?
Right. And you know what else? This confirms the fact that the Chinese, COVID as we call it, but the Wuhan virus, it did come from China. I mean, this confirms it. I mean, they're out to get us no matter what. I don't care what anybody says. The writing is on the wall. What the hell's wrong with people?
Yeah. Well, and then we all know that it came from China, but even then they'll say, well, we don't know if it was intentional or not. What they just tried to bring into America was intentional. So you're going to sit here and play dumb like, oh, they would never do the woo-hoo flu intentionally. That's what the Chinese themselves called it, by the way, the woo-hoo flu, because they knew exactly where it came from. Nancy, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. We've got phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. What do you guys think about the Democrats saying they need illegal aliens? They need somebody to help them wipe their... Can we say that word on the radio? I think we can say that word on the radio, but either way, we'll stick with wipe their for now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at a televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But he was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that the research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The questions now swirling about the health of former President Biden are not new. Questions about his gait, slurred speech, and mental acuity dog Mr. Biden throughout his tenure. But none of this is new, be it a conversation about former President Biden or a host of other former presidents. Doctors operated on President Grover Cleveland as he grappled with oral cancer while on a yacht in New York Harbor. President Woodrow Wilson suffered a debilitating stroke. His confidants covered that up, and his wife Edith Wilson exercised extraordinary power while while he was sick. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was confined to a wheelchair. Radio and newspaper reporters knew it, but elected not to tell the country. President John F. Kennedy had a chronic back injury, which the public knew little about. Former President Ronald Reagan came close to dying after a 1981 assassination attempt. Reagan's handlers downplayed the injuries, and members of the Trump administration weren't as truthful as they could have been about just how sick the president was when he contracted COVID-19 just before the 2020 election. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
What a show with Wednesday's Montana Talks. We had Chris Gallis, the Commissioner of Political Practices, talking about a new law to ban foreign influence in Montana's elections. That was an interesting conversation. And then a great phone call from Missoula City Councilmember Sandy Vasica, who voted against this pride flag as the official flag for the city of Missoula. What are we going to talk about Thursday? You tell us. You never know what we're going to cover. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northland. USDA has delayed the release of its Outlook for U.S. Agricultural Trade Report and removed its written analysis due to internal political concerns over the growing agricultural trade deficit. That's according to a report from Politico. While the data was eventually posted online this week showing a $49.5 billion trade gap for fiscal year 2025, analysts noted the lack of the usual economic commentary and detailed context. The report projects fiscal year 2025 exports at just over $170.5 billion. That's unchanged from February projections. And imports coming in at $220 billion. That's up from $13.8 billion last year. USDA attributed the delay to internal review processes and is now evaluating whether to continue publishing non-statutory reports like this one. But critics, including former USDA officials, warned that undermining objectivity could erode trust in USDA data. This is the Western Ag Network.
Ranchers, it's time for the 17th annual Diamond McNabb Horse Sale. Saturday, June 7th, 85 saddle horses sell at the ranch near Douglas, Wyoming. At Diamond McNabb, our horses are more than livestock, not just pets. They're partners we depend on with our lives, and you can too. Diamond McNabb Ranch Horses, we're only the best we'll do. For more information, visit dmhorses.com or give Ken a call personally at 307-254-7260. Online and phone bidding also available. Ranchers, mark your calendars for June 18th and join us in Hillsboro for the Montana Range Tour. Hear from Brian Shelton of the Savory Institute and tour Wicken Salt Creek Ranch, winners of the 2024 Leopold Conservation Award. This hands-on field day is your chance to learn from innovators in grazing and egg practices, and just $65 covers it all. Presentations, ranch tour, breakfast, lunch, and even transportation from Lewistown to Winterfell. Register by May 28th at mtdnrc.formstack.com.
Consumer demand for beef continues to be a bright spot in the cattle industry. Despite economic pressure, shoppers are still putting beef at the center of their plate. CattleFax's Matt McQuaig says strong demand is supporting record prices and rewarding producers across the supply chain.
That's one of the things that we really need to emphasize or recognize, just the difference compared to like previous years, previous cycles, is just how strong, how outstanding that consumer demand is or has been for beef. Obviously, the protein content, the quality, the high levels of upper choice and prime product that we're able to put out there has turned into strong consumer demand for beef. They've rewarded the cattle producers with more dollars in this system. Last month, all fresh retail prices, so beef in the grocery store, came in at $8.50 per pound on a U.S. average, record high levels. And these dollars at that grocery store then create margin in the system that is further divided up amongst beef producers. And so we really have a lot to be thankful for, just in terms or from that consumer standpoint, and how we're able to sustain these high prices.
McQuaig said consumers are paying attention to price, but adjusting their budgets within the beef category to cheaper options rather than switching to other proteins.
We have seen larger demand for the ground beef product, and so that is reflective of some consumers being forced to maybe transition down within the beef complex, but they're much more willing to do that as opposed to switching down to some of the competing proteins. And so that's a very positive sign for the beef producer.
All in all, McQuaig said despite tighter budgets, Americans are choosing beef, especially high-quality cuts and affordable options. And for cattle producers, that loyalty at the meat case continues to deliver value from pasture to plate. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northbond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, one thing I need to do, in fact, I'm recording the audio right now, and then I'm going to upload it into my AI software so I can at least read the transcript, maybe share a highlight with you. Nancy's great phone call there from Roundup reminded me of it. Dan Bongino was on Sean Hannity's show last night. I didn't get a chance to watch that segment yet, but I at least want to read the transcript of it. But because basically, Bongino is warning about the dramatic threat picture facing the United States of America. Dan Bongino, the great Dan Bongino, used to be on these very same airwaves. Of course, now he is deputy FBI director. He was on with Sean Hannity last night. Now, but him warning about a dramatic threat picture facing the United States, of course, shouldn't be shocking to anybody. I mean, even O'Biden's FBI director was talking about how there's blinking lights everywhere because there are so many threats facing this country. And, of course, he said that after, you know, the regime he was a part of, the Joe Biden regime, had already allowed in millions of illegal aliens into this country. But, yeah, I pulled up that Daily Caller story here. I'm going to be really crude. Democrat Representative Becca Blint bluntly says America needs migrants to wipe their arses. My goodness. This is a Democrat Vermont representative. She was at a town hall in Newport on May 29th. Says that reliance on migrant labor is no longer a political issue, but an issue of national survival. So what you see as an issue of national destruction, she sees as an issue of national survival because she needs somebody to wipe her you-know-what. Let's see. Here we go. Here's the second half of that audio clip from Jesse Waters' segment last night I wanted to share with you.
Founder of Public News, Michael Schellenberger, is here. All right, Mike, I know you're laughing at that crazy Vermont lady. I mean, what was she saying?
I mean, yeah, masks off, right? I mean, it is amazing to see Democrats defend the use of illegal labor that drives down the salaries of working Americans. I mean, these were folks for decades that were telling us that the market is everything and that there's the iron law of supply and demand. And then they told us that, no, we can import large numbers of unskilled workers and it will have no effect on wages. And then they finally reveal, well, we really want them as our servant underclass. I think it really speaks to the moment. I think we're just starting to see what's really, it was a hollow log. I mean, it was just, there was nothing there. So when the Democrats were defeated politically, people could see that this was an anti-civilization agenda. That's why they're constantly on the side of defending crime and criminals.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting here is that the Democrats, they don't want work requirements for Medicaid for able-bodied adults. They want to pay American men who should be working to sit on their butts, to sit on their arses. And then they want to bring in illegal aliens to come in and wipe their arses. See, they want more voters. They need more people dependent on the government. You go. I guess this is our hour. This is we're just going to be telling people, hey, get up, get off your arses. It's 6 o'clock. It's 6:31 in the morning. Time to get off your arse and go to work because somebody's got to go pay for all these illegal aliens. So you had the Democrat lawmaker in Vermont saying that, hey, we just need somebody to come in here and wipe our arses. That's why she supports the illegal aliens. That reminds me, I'm organizing my show prep here and I see Caden, thankfully snagged this tweet for me here. It was a post on X by Derek Evans. And this is Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. He was on CNN with Jake Tapper talking about One Big Beautiful Bill and more. And the one thing Democrats are criticizing, well, one of the main things they're criticizing is the work requirement for Medicaid. So now Montana, thankfully, one of the good things that the legislature did was pass a work requirement. If you are an able-bodied working age adult, you'll still get your free Medicaid that the rest of us have to pay for. But you better at least go to work. You better work a job instead of sit on the couch and do nothing. And the Democrats despise this because they want people fully dependent on the government. They don't want people to have, you know, what the empowering independence that working for yourself brings, right? So anyway, John Kennedy was on, speaking of getting off your arses, here's what Senator John Kennedy had to say.
You know, look, if you really need Medicaid, I want you to get it. But there are people on Medicaid who could work, but they choose not to work. And sometimes the best way to get back on your feet is to get up off your ass.
Medicaid recipient, undocumented immigrants are not supposed to get Medicaid. I understand that there have
been. But they do. Yeah. All you got to do is step a toe in California and you'll get everything.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that's clear that legally they're not eligible. Some people who already work or qualify for an exemption.
Anyway, what a line there from Senator John Kennedy. Sometimes the best way to get back on your feet is to get off of your arse. Now, I mean, what's a familiar line that we all know here? You know, when you fall off the horse, the best thing to do is dust yourself off and get right back on that horse. See, that's the thing. This has been, ever since I was a kid, this has been blatantly obvious to me. It's not just American politics, it's American culture. The American left, they want to grow government. They want people dependent on the government. Because when you're dependent on the government, you're more likely to vote for them. Because they're the ones that always want to make government bigger and make more government and take money out of one pocket to put it into another. And so simultaneously, that's why they, A, support bringing in all these illegal aliens, because they then assume that all these illegal aliens will vote for them because Democrats are the ones that allowed them to break into this country. But then simultaneously, they want American men sitting on their butts, doing nothing, being dependent on the government for the same reason, because now you're more likely to vote for them. But it wipes away your individuality.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, Stephen Miller is just on fire. Stephen Miller, you know, I was talking about the guy that I'm sure the media will start referring to as Colorado Man, although will the media even be referring to this terrorist attack in Colorado that much longer anyway? I mean, it's radical Islamic terror from an illegal alien on American soil, so they'll probably want to ignore as much of that story as possible. But of course, if it was somebody with another ideological persuasion, it would be nonstop coverage. But this liberal judge, once again, here you've got another judge trying to play president. Bill Malusian with Fox News reported this about 16 hours ago. Colorado federal judge Gordon Gallagher, a Biden appointee, has issued an order blocking the Trump administration from deporting the wife and five children of Boulder terror suspect Mohammed Suleiman. Now, even though they're described as his children, these are grown adults. Because remember, this terrorist suspect has been planning this terrorism for quite some time. He deliberately wanted to wait until after his kids were all finished with high school before he committed his terrorist attack on American soil. So these aren't just little kids. Either way, they'd be going back home to where they came from anyway, Egypt. But Stephen Miller said this: "We are in a struggle for the survival of civilization itself. And we have libertarians threatening to derail the entire agenda over bogus CBO pie charts, We will be debating these matters over the ruins of the West if we don't control migration. That really is priority number one, is securing our borders. Much more to follow on that. But let's get into your phone calls here. 294-0970. Goose in Anaconda. Goose, great to hear from you as always. What's going on?
Yeah, Aaron. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, great.
Well, hey, I got a little rant. Please don't cut me off. It's about a minute and a half long, I guess.
No, go for it. We got time before the break. Usually it's the break that cuts both of us off. So, no, I appreciate it.
All right. I got her kind of figured out, I think. Let's see. The Muslim Brotherhood, thanks for all infidels, want to kill us all. China wants to overthrow us and overtake us. Sorry about this, but the Zionists choosing Israel can think of us as goys and want to enslave us. Between every one of our politicians and our government, they're either paid off, bribed, or in bed with one of those three entities, along with our media. Our government is poisoning us through our water, through our GMO and our food, and through the spraying of our skies. They've brought all these people over that hate our guts. Let them live for free. Pay them with our tax dollars to create all this chaos in our country, because that's all we're talking about now. So it's kind of disgusting, but it's kind of what it is. Our media is in bed with China and Israel, and the Zionist Jews own a lot of our media and a lot of Hollywood. And with them poisoning us in our food, their GMO in our food, and chemtrails are real, and I'm not being paid to say that. They're with a lot of aluminum. They're keeping us sick. So Big Pharma kicks in, makes their trillions of dollars. We're all sick, docile, weak. And then you kick in AI, which is the new Google, which isn't going to tell us the whole truth whatsoever. Everything's been a lie from JFK to 9/11 to the coronavirus and the vaccinations. It's all been one big lie. And so there you have it.
Man, we're cooked. There is no future for this country. I mean, if we believe everything you just threw out there, there is no future for this country whatsoever. So you might as well just go sit on your arse and wait for the illegals to come wipe it for you, huh?
I guess. Like Chuck Schumer said, they just enacted a We're All Gonna Die Act. Did you see that?
Yeah. I've got the audio of it as well here. Yeah, he thinks that if we secure our borders and we keep the tax cuts going for the American people, that we are all going to die. That's what Chuck is calling this bill. I got to ask you, Goose, why are you so anti-Israel? I mean, Israel and our Jewish friends are the only friends solid friends we've got over there in the Middle East. I mean, we've got some other friends, right? You know, Donald Trump's working on that, right, to secure this historic peace, but why are you so anti-Israel?
Well, I have done some deep digging, and I've looked into all the central bankers, you know, all the global elites, which are the central bankers, pretty much. They're all pronounced. They admit they're all pronounced and proud to be Zionist Jews. Their headquarters are in Tel Aviv, Israel. They're kind of the main people that are causing all this havoc.
When I look at George Soros, whatever his ethnic background, whatever his nationality might be, George Soros to me is one of the most anti-Jewish people out there. He is funding all of this anti-Semitism in America. So I'm not gonna blame, you know, our Jewish friends like the great rabbi in Bozeman and others across the state in this country, and our friends that actually support us in the Middle East for George Soros. Like he's stabbing them all in the backs right now.
True. And I don't want to sound all anti-Semitic, and you know, your average Jew I don't dislike, and if, you know, every average person out there, just good, decent people. But the power, and actually George Soros was Jewish. He was 14 years old when the overtaking of all the Jews in Israel, in Germany was happening, and he had a godfather that was a Nazi that took him under his skin, and they actually employed George Soros at 14 years old to go into all the houses and take inventory.
Soros is just he is just one of the most despicable people on the planet. But see, if you criticize George Soros, they're like, oh, you're being anti-Semitic by criticizing George Soros. It's like George Soros is the funder of anti-Semitism. Give me a break. It's just funny when Democrats want to, you know, hide behind Jews, yet at the same time, they're the ones propping up all the anti-Semitism on these college campuses and elsewhere. Goose, great to hear from you. All right, I do have other callers on the line here as well. Otherwise, man, we'd keep it going. I appreciate you calling in. Let's see, who do we got next? We got Thomas in Billings. Thomas in Billings. What's going on, Thomas?
Good morning, Aaron. As you know, I am a constitutional conservative, but I have to stand with Greg when he vetoed Senate Bill 72 and Senate Bill 244. I like Mike Yakovich, good guy. I'm not going to say anything because he's not here to defend himself.
He could be. He might be listening. You never know.
The Senate Bill 72 and Senate Bill 244, I mean, I've made my my future. When I get old and I cannot work, I've set my future up. Medicaid is an expansion of the government. If you're a Republican, you do not want to expand the government. So I stand with Greg when he vetoed this, and Mike Yakovich wants to try to override the veto of Senate Bill 72 as far as Medicaid. You know what? Medicaid is a Democrat government given to people. I watch people every day that are on Medicaid. They're eligible. I understand the elderly people, but I have made investments in my own life, in my own future, when I can't work. Medicaid is an expansion of government. It is paid by the taxpayers. We should not, there is not a line of text in the Constitution that says that we need to pay for Medicaid. Medicaid is a system that needs to be eliminated, and the taxpayers need to get their money back.
Well, I was pleased that the Montana legislature, you know, there were a lot of our fellow conservatives who were critical of Medicaid expansion, making it through the legislature this session. But in all reality, they didn't expand Medicaid in this recent legislative session. They just reauthorized the expansion that was done over a decade ago. And so, but one thing they did do, and I said this from day one, is like, okay, hey, even if they do feel like they're forced into passing Medicaid expansion, because like I say, you go up to Northeast Montana, and there's people, you know, even solid conservatives who are worried that if that didn't stay in place, they would lose their local hospital, they would lose their local nursing home. And so that's why a lot of those lawmakers from that neck of the woods voted for it. But I did say from the start that even if they're going to do that, they need to put some sideboards on this thing. And one of those sideboards they did put in place, which was the work requirement for Medicaid, that if you're going to get this. And so they did that at the state level. And then that's also included in what's being referred to as this one big, beautiful bill right now. And Democrats are complaining about that one because Democrats, see, there's something about work and working for yourself. I saw this as a young kid. I loved stuffing newspapers and making my own money. I loved delivering newspapers and making my own money. And then eventually washing dishes and bussing tables and waiting tables. I wanted the ability to help provide for myself and for the family as well. I saw my hardworking single mom. I saw my hardworking single dad. And then eventually when, yeah. And so there is something that is empowering, that is life-giving when you provide for yourself. But see, the left wants you dependent on the government so that they can have more control over your life, so that you are more likely to vote for them. That's why they don't want a work requirement, even if you're still getting the so-called free stuff of Medicaid, because they need people dependent on government.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Karine Jean-Pierre apparently has written a book, and she served as the White House press secretary under Biden. He said he left the Democratic Party. Fox News alert. Anyway, Ms. Jean-Pierre said she's now part of the growing fractured electorate that is independent. You think she's ever voting for a Republican? No. Her book, entitled Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines, blasting the Democratic Party for betraying Joe Biden. Jean-Pierre didn't come to her decision to be an independent lightly. A short preview of the book reveals He takes us through the 3 weeks that led to Biden's abandoning his bid for a second term and the betrayal by the Democratic Party that led to the decision. That's called a hook to sell a book.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, we'll see a slight chance for a shower, a thunder shower this afternoon. High temperatures will stay up around 70 degrees. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the mid-40s across the Bozeman area to near 50 in Billings. Then with sunshine Friday, highs will stay in the mid-70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got to check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or get the app on your smartphone.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, real quick, before we jump right back into the phone lines here, we've been talking a lot about the Make America Healthy Again agenda, the MAHA agenda. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch out of Dillon, Montana, he's been talking closely with RFK Jr. For at least 2 years prior to RFK Jr. becoming the Secretary of Health and Human Services. But Brian, he's always looking at some outside the box strategies when it comes to ranching and agriculture. In fact, you've probably heard a little bit about what they're doing at Reminis Ranch with N-soil algae. Basically using N-soil algae to get healthier soil to deliver better beef and healthier people as well. That's one thing to check out. But if you haven't tried their premium steaks, their ground beef, or their jerky, I've even had some of their beef bacon, which is really good, you're going to see why Reminisce Angus delivers some fine, top-quality, regeneratively grown beef. Check out the Reminisce Angus website and look for the Reminisce Angus products at grocery stores and gas stations as well, where you can find their jerky. Let's take you to Jerry in Circle next up on the phone lines. Jerry, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Aaron. I just actually tuned in here a few minutes ago and had a listener call in about Medicaid expansion.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to clarify one thing there on that you mentioned that the legislature passed work requirements in the expansion part.
Well, it was separate from the expansion, right?
Well, the fact of it is, there was a separate bill that was brought to make sure that work requirements was in expansion this time, but that got defeated. But there is actually, as I understand it, work requirements in the existing statute, but it has never been enacted, because in order for it to be utilized in a state, we had to, Montana had to, or any other state would have to apply for an waiver from the federal government, because it isn't in federal law now. So anytime you want to do something different than in federal law, you have to apply for a waiver. So Montana's applied for a waiver, but of course during the Obama or Biden years, federal government would never grant it. So now we're hopeful at least that in the big, beautiful bill, if it passes, or any other legislation, or actually statutory, or just from an administrative level, the feds could grant these waivers, at least to individual states that want to do it.
Yeah.
So, but as of right now, there is no work requirement.
Until the feds take action. Right, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
So what the bill I was referring to, I had to ask Grok for a refresher here. Last month, Governor Gianforte signed House Bill 687, which increases the age limit for Medicaid expansion work requirements from 55 to 62. So assuming that the work requirements get fixed in the one big beautiful bill, that should go into effect. Is that a good assumption?
I think that would be true, that at least that top limit would be raised. But the like I said, the work requirement was already in old existing statute, but
yeah,
probably had that age cap on it, and now that age cap would be extended, because Medicaid expansion, a lot of times there's confusion. Medicaid is for poor people and and kids, I believe, but Medicaid expansion deals primarily with adults, single adults without children, and almost half of the recipients of Medicaid expansion right now are in that 18 to 24, 25-year-old
age range. They're men who should be working that aren't working. And then now they're taking away funding from, people with disabilities and people who actually need the help, right? I mean, it's such an upside-down program. Jerry, great to hear from you. If you want to call back in the 7 o'clock hour, feel free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at a televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But it was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that their research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.